Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Man-at-Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man-at-Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who is the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him, because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him for the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 116th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG on Mike. Hello, sir.
Hello. So I realized something in watching what we're going to be covering today.
That's always scary.
I know. This episode should have actually had three episodes in it, because I forgot that we're going to have to end this podcast on a cliffhanger, because that's how this episode, damn it! I go back and I watch the Council of Evil two-parter, and I'm like, at the end of part two, I'm like, wait, what? Oh, man. And I had to. I needed to know how the story ended, so I went ahead and watched The Last Stand, which is the next episode, the first episode in 117 that we'll cover next time around.
Wanted to leave the fans and the listeners with a cliffhanger.
Yeah, well.
So like you said, in this episode of Masters of Grayskull, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next two episodes, episode 25, The Council of Evil Part 1, and episode 26, The Council of Evil Part 2. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Eternia.
So what are we after?
Skeletor says there's a cave down there containing a weapon that's been hidden away for 1,000 years.
All right, first up today, folks, is episode 25, The Council of Evil Part 1, air date October 4th, 2003, written by Dean Stephan. After the Masters capture Skeletor's evil warriors, Eternia relaxes their security, unaware of Skeletor's true plan, as he convenes the Council of Evil. So basically, like we were talking about before, I like the fact that you basically have evil warriors that actually get captured and are in jail throughout time. It just happens that this episode, all of them are captured, basically. So Skeletor turns to a alternate group of evil warriors. What did you think about this episode?
I like this. I think this is cool, because you get captured and you get captured and you get captured. No, it's one of those things where, looking at what this series is as a whole, this is the two-part season finale of season one. Sadly, we only have X number of episodes left in the series after this, but I understand why they did this, and I remember back in 2003. I remember back in 2003 when I saw this on Cartoon Network, and I'm like, same thing I had rewatching it for this episode, like, really? That's it? Wait, I need to know more. I need to, obviously in 2003, I couldn't have gone and said, "Hey, I need to know. I need to know what happens. I need to, you know, whatever." They left it on a cliffhanger for, I don't know, 6 months or so. I guess I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll find out when we find out the air date to the season two, episode one. But it's one of those things where, wow, I forgot how, like, we know this series is cool. We know that we don't like certain aspects. We feel that certain things are whatever. But this was fucking awesome. This was great. This was one of those things that you've dreamt of since 1983 kind of thing. Like you said, Skeletor basically lets Beastman and Trapjaw and Evil-Lyn and Triclops and Whiplash, Clawful. Basically everybody gets captured. And then he goes to the B team and enlists Stinkor and seeing Webstor on screen, wow.
Yeah, we get Webstor, we get Marzo, we get the three giants.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting collection of evil warriors that he's now enlisting. And like you said, one interesting thing about it is because of all of the other evil warriors being captured, like we said in the plot synopsis there, Eternia somewhat relaxes their security. You know, King and Queen go on a vacation. Some people are going back to see their people, you know, their families or where they're from. Some people are just doing stuff for fun, you know, whatever it might be, but they're all kind of splitting off and going all over the place. So obviously they have become, left themselves vulnerable to whatever Skeletor has up his sleeve. Before we get to that, though, there is an to lead to the imprisoning of all of the evil warriors, there is a fantastic, great, epic, awesome battle to begin this episode.
Yeah, the battle was amazing.
Like, I don't know if we've had a sequence like that in a long time in this franchise where it's like a just all out, like, I don't know how long I didn't time it, but it's got to be like damn near 10 minutes.
It's easily the first 10 and a half, 11 minutes of the first 23-minute episode, yeah.
Right, right. So, I mean, they stay with it. It's prolonged. You get to see a lot of different one-on-one matchups as well as, like, the team groups and stuff like that. So that was very cool, a cool way to start the episode. And you actually, when you get to the palace and when everybody's relaxing, you get to see, like, a sky shot almost of the palace. Mm-hmm. You get to see how many people are actually living there, you know, like all the different people that are at the palace. It kind of adds a new element because usually we don't get to see that many people at once. And they actually do an announcement that, you know, the state of high alert is off or it's over for now, you know. So apparently they've been on red alert for a long time and now it's going off. So that was interesting. And it was also cool because we had a mystery of, as the viewer, you don't know who Skeletor has left or who he is sending out, because you can see that he has a plan and that he has other people that he's going to be, you know, getting the services of, but it's like, who is he talking about?
Yeah, I was just, based on the name of this two-parter, not that this Skeletor would do this, I was half expecting him to do an Earl Hammond, Ancient Spirits of That's what the title reminded me of. I'm like, oh my god, it's Mumra from the 80s all over again. It isn't, obviously.
Yeah.
That battle, though, there is one scene that I absolutely love. It's the scene where, I forget who throws it at him, but basically, one of the evil warriors throws a rock at He-Man. He just sets his feet and puts his sword out and basically doesn't even move, doesn't even make a motion, and the sword just cuts the rock in half. Like, that is by far the best He-Man thing he has ever done in the last 30X number of years, whatever it is now.
It's also a good timing-wise because we've had a lot of episodes where it seems like Skeletor hasn't been a central part. So to have this, it's like you also get a lot of Skeletor, which we haven't got a lot of. So it's like we were ready for that. So I think that added to the episode.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's just a good, as far as two-parter episodes go, and being the first part, it does everything you need it to do.
Don't you know it's not polite to fight and run?
Yeah, it sets up the story. It gives you a great battle in the beginning. Like, you know, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It sets up mystery, like you said, with, you know, who's he have left? Who's he going to go to? Who's he going to whatever? And it basically, the two episodes are basically mirrors of each other, because at first the evil warriors are captured, and then later all the masters are captured and kind of thing. So basically it's, you know, turning it on, right. Turning it on its head, or turning it on its ass, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, part one was just amazing. The animation was top notch.
Agreed.
Like, that battle, just the little nuances of that battle were just so cool.
Yep. For any other notes about the episode, because I think we can talk more about it once we get to part two, kind of as a whole.
Oh, yeah. No,
but
I'm good.
I have a power sword for Skeletor just for coming up with a plan and for being conniving and evil and great in this episode, and because we finally get an episode of him. What about you? Any awards or what rating would you give this first part?
Obviously, power swords to almost everybody. He-Man, Skeletor especially, like you said, for the plan. The rating, I'd rather just rate it overall for the entire thing, but rating, it's not going to, basically it's 2 fives. It's going to equal out to a 10 for the whole damn thing, because there was nothing in this, there wasn't any story beats that were missed. It wasn't, do I agree that they should have, lighten their security? No, not at all. But that was the point. That was the point of Skeletor luring them into a false sense of security, that they could do that. You know, so that is, again, why this episode gets a 5 for me.
And for some reason, I'm at a 4.5. I don't know. I didn't quite give this one a 5. I just left a little bit of an opening, so I'm at a 4.5, probably because it's the first part and there's a cliffhanger, and I wanted to see how everything ended, but 4.5 for me, 5 for Mike. It's still real good.
The joke's on you, because it doesn't end, it cliffhangs again.
Right. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with this part 2 of this deceivingly titled series.
All my evil warriors captured. Awful, isn't it, Panthor?
All right, last up today is episode 26, The Council of Evil, Part 2, October 11th, 2003. Dean Stephan, He-Man, and Battlecat are overpowered by Skeletor's newly formed Council of Evil, but manage to escape capture by transforming back into their other selves. So this is a second part of here, because we're going to find that the Masters are now all captured as well. So it's basically Prince Adam against the Council of Evil. What did you think of the second part of this?
I have been waiting 25 episodes for Cringer to do something, and he finally did it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I said at the beginning in episode 108 when we started this, I'm so happy he doesn't talk. I'm so happy that isn't a part of the persona here. But Battlecat almost, he almost doesn't, yes, the two personalities are there. Cringer is the timid, the fearful one, and Battlecat's just gonna do whatever. But I haven't really seen him do too much other than when he's, you know, carrying He-Man and He-Man's fighting and whatever. And the moment in this when Cringer, you know, goes to protect Adam and goes to, you know, save him and all, I was like, yes, Cringer, yes, about time. I love that this is, again, a complete mirror, a complete reverse of the first episode, of the part one, I should say. And how, you know, basically the sorceress has to tell him, and that I find is a little weak, because why couldn't he think of that on his own? I mean, I get it. It's again, a thing to show that she's in the episode, even though we see her, you know, before this and after this. But, she had to tell him to have the power return for him to escape. That's a little,
right,
little weak, but I love that they did it, because I love that, again, you're seeing both sides of the same coin and using them in different ways. It's not just I'm just going to lay here and be lazy and fish and whatever.
Right. Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. We get the reverse transformation in this episode like we're talking about, so that's something you don't get to see all the time. You also get the transformation interruption, yep. where he's about to transform and he gets interrupted.
Yep.
You also get some interesting things as far as his identity, because you have at one point Orko, I think it's Orko, says, but Adam is He-Man.
Yeah.
And there's that drone that's flying by.
Uh-huh.
So that almost revealed his identity.
Yeah.
Then they're teasing. Then they're teasing if Adam's going to tell Teela.
Mm-hmm.
Because he comes real close to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We also get, and not that this is the first time we've seen this or anything, but we get the whole fact that Adam loses his power sword.
Yep. What I love, what I love about this is it's so funny. So, two-parter, next time on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, previously on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, next time when they do the clip, he goes to tell her when they do the teaser, and then immediately as soon as he tries to tell her, it cuts away to Sorceress, and she's like, no. Like, it makes it seem like it's part of the same scene. Like, she's like telling him, no, don't reveal your identity to Teela. I'm like, oh, God. But that's obviously two different scenes, and that's a testament to whomever, I don't know if it's in-house at Mike Young Productions or if they farmed it out. Like, you look at trailers in general, how scenes are cut together, but when you watch a film or whatever, they're not anywhere near each other kind of thing. And I kind of like that, but I'm like, oh, God, don't do that.
Right. I had down just like you did, that Cringer comes through.
Yep.
You know, it's the first time we got to see really Cringer be active in something. And it's interesting because obviously in the filmation, He-Man, Cringer was always very cowardly, didn't want to be involved. They don't emphasize that a lot in this series. So it is interesting that we get to see him kind of have this brave moment and come through. I'm not going to try to spoil anything because I do know something. Because obviously from when we watched it originally, that are going to happen. But you get to see the Snake Men in this episode, and you get to see them interact in and possibly forming some type of an arrangement with Evil Lyn.
Mm-hmm.
While Evil Lyn is locked up and whatnot. And man, so you got Skeletor, and he is approaching Castle Grayskull towards the latter half of this episode, and he's with his Council of Evil. So he has, you know, the Giants, he has Webstor, he has Count Marzo, etc. Mm-hmm. And Count Marzo decides to try to double cross him.
Bigger they are. The harder they hit.
And it leads to a badass moment for Skeletor to survive that strike.
Oh yeah.
And the way they do it is so cool from the animation, because he does this strike and it's like very powerful and there's some smoke involved and that type of stuff. And then you see Skeletor just hovering.
Yep.
Floating in air.
Yep.
Like
godlike, if you will. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So that was a badass moment for Skeletor. We also get to see something that's very rare. We get to see the Sorceress actually getting hurt, and not just getting hurt, but screaming.
Yep.
Like, that's something we don't get to see a lot of, so that was intense. And then we have Prince Adam standing there with no power sword.
Mm-hmm.
He is in between Skeletor and Grayskull.
Mm-hmm.
Skeletor has his Council of Evil, and then here come the Masters.
Oh, wait.
But wait, it's actually Evil and Beastman, Merman, Trapjaw, Triclops, and now we have all of the Evil Warriors versus, with Skeletor.
Yep.
And Adam is the only thing that stands in between all of them and Castle Grayskull, and that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, damn it, you've got, like, how could I not immediately go? Like, because, again, I mentioned last episode, I think, that I woke up and watched these on my phone kind of thing just to watch them so I got the content before I go back and record the audio.
Right.
And I'm like, how can I not hit the next arrow to see the next episode, to see how it really ends? Because, damn, I'm telling you, these people really knew how to use the cliffhanger, because, yeah, I don't think so. That's not... Thankfully, we live in a day and age where we can actually go to the next episode immediately and not while, you know, it's airing and whatever.
Yeah, for sure. So that was a great cliffhanger, a great second part of this Council of Evil two-parter. I don't know why they didn't just call it Council of Evil Part 1, 2, and 3, but such is life. We will have to wait until the next podcast to tell you guys how this ends.
Yep.
And then to see where it goes from there. But for this episode, I give a power sword to Skeletor for surviving that strike from Marzo.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a power sword for Cringer, because he was cool in this episode. Any other awards that you have?
Skeletor, Cringer, He-Man, or Adam, I should say. Because, I mean, again, character development for Adam. Like we saw in that one episode where the king wanted him to pay more attention to affairs of state, like learning the things of, you know, the palace and whatever. Here, he has to rely on being himself, like being this part of himself. Like, he can't become He-Man and just muscle his way out of it this time.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Absolutely love that. Again, for me, it's a 5. It was awesome.
I'm still at a 4.5.
What's wrong with you?
4.5. I thought there was some slow moments at the beginning when everybody's captured into this, that, and the other, and some of the Adam stuff was a little bit maybe not as exciting, but a very minor nitpick there. So I'm still at a 4.5. I think these have been two very good two-part episodes, and we'll have to see how it all concludes next time. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about what's coming up next.
And so they scatter. Who was it that said, divide and conquer? Oh, me. I have done the dividing. Now go conquer.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes fun is going to be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Vane, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
You see it out of the corner of your eye, at the end of an alleyway that didn't exist before. The light seems to flicker and threatens to sputter out. It's a theater. There's only one film playing. You don't recognize the title, although it stirs something in your mind. Welcome to The Mirage, the theater of movies that do not exist. Cinematic Mirage is a podcast exclusive to the Domicile of Dread Patreon about films that were greenlit that never made it to the silver screen. Join Thomas DJ as he explores how the projects came together, why they stopped production, and what they may have been about. It's free to all patrons at the $5 a month level or more. To learn more and to sign up, go to patreon.com/DJ's Domicile of Dread. Cinematic Mirage. A seat's waiting for you.
Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at Decian.com. DASIEN.com. And for the new Decian podcast, go to patreon.com/Decian.
Oh, Duncan, you're perhaps wondering why you and your cohorts are still alive. Rest assured, it's only a temporary condition. I've decided to allow you to live just long enough to bear witness to my greatest achievement. The conquest of Castle Grayskull and the ultimate power that lies within!
We are back, and just to reiterate to everyone, this is the end of Season 1 of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe from 2002. It will be a full 6 months, as I said before, from April to October in 2003 that Season 1 and Season 2 ended and began. So, yeah, now that I know that it was almost a full 6 months, pretty much, I remember, like, that whole summer, I'm like, fuck, what am I supposed to do? I gotta wait till October to see what happens, really?
But that's why we ended it like we did, since it was the end of Season 1, so it wasn't a mistake, even though they kind of titled the episodes in a strange way. That's why we were ending on this two-parter, because that was the end of Season 1.
Absolutely.
And it was a way to end, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Complete way to end. Well, an incomplete way to end. But yes, very cliffhangery, very cool, very awesome. Thank you for listening to us as we are the Masters of Grayskull. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts, not only the episodes, but the other podcasts and other written stuff and whatever else. Steve just put up, as of this recording, a really cool article on something. Forget what the hell that was off the top of my head. I can't think. Improving Yourself, The Geek's Guide to Success. Very, very good read. Very, very cool. Of course, you people won't hear about that until 3 months from now. But anyway, leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I have not checked iTunes. I will check for next time. Follow us on Twitter, at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show. I'm at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure. We will take a look at the next three episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which kick off season two. The Last Stand, To Walk with Dragons, and Out of the Past. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
the Optimus Solo One.
What the hell was that? By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we have the power.